To those who watched the environmental and economic disaster unravel from afar, the Macondo well oil is all but gone. To researchers at USF St. Pete, it's still out there, weathered beyond smithereens, menacing the Gulf of Mexico food chain. Speaking to students and faculty recently at USF St. Pete campus, USF chemical oceanographer David Hollander said data gathered over the past few months show the picture is a lot better than it was last summer, but it's not exactly back to normal.
The water column is looking much clearer. I mean, essentially, we didn't find any levels of toxicity. The deep sea sedimentary system and the ecologic community show severe disturbance.
Hollander said the BP oil disaster was catastrophic, but it did have some silver linings. One was that it demonstrated the multifaceted nature of marine science.
You realize that oceanography is truly an interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary pursuit. Bob Weisberg was the first ones out there with the physics and where is it going. Then the chemists came in. What is the chemistry of the stuff that's going where? The biologists kick in. What's the biological response? Is it toxic? How are the organisms? What's the abundances? Are there population changes? And now into the geologic framework, where we're starting to understand the long-term significance of this event.
Last summer, the USF Marine Science Research Team went out into the Gulf on the research vessel Weatherbird 2 multiple times to study the BP oil, where it was going, what form it was in, and what it was doing to marine life. The team often made headlines when their research suggested the government was lowballing estimates of the oil leak severity.
We have been independent academics that played a critical role in a lot of things. Into the scientific discovery, into public communications of findings, and that we might have been thrusted into that position based on the fact that there may have been credibility gaps and the media started to come to the academics. If you recall the hydrocarbon flow rate debacle from 1,000 to 5,000, and at the end it turned out to be 60,000 barrels per day.
Hollander said there was a reason that USF and several other organizations were able to conduct research in ways other institutions couldn't.
Florida and Georgia were the two states that really were making statements. We're not beholden to the oil and gas industry. Georgia and Florida are not oil and gas states. Mississippi, Louisiana, they were hush as could be.
He said there was a lot of skepticism on their part in August when Obama administration officials said the oil was 75% gone.
Carol Browner, who's now left the administration, came out with a statement that 75% of the oil is gone and everything's good. And there was a lot of debate. There was even now recognizable debate within the administration. And NOAA's pushing back came to no avail. And so essentially, this was trotted out there as solid science, and there was a lot of debate about this.
Hollander said one of the key ways in which USF researchers helped demonstrate the severity of the disaster was through linking the gigantic subsurface plumes of weathered oil to BP's Macondo well, which researchers say they accomplished by a process called fingerprinting.
The subsurface oils actually retain the chemical signature of the primary oil to a much better degree than even the surface oil. And that may make some sense relative to the fact that the only effect here is biodegradation, not necessarily evaporation, which is thought to be the dominant difference for the surface oil. So essentially, molecular or compound-specific isotopes are equivalent of a chemical fingerprint, and the BP Deepwater Macondo 252 oil is isotopically identical and likely the source of the subsurface plumes.
But Hollander said it wasn't easy to get a Macondo well oil sample from BP.
This was not simple to get. As a matter of fact, now they don't release any of their oil, so we were quite lucky. It took us a month to get the oil, and it was a business decision, I think, at that point, not to provide it, because the logic was is that we were going to do something like this. And so
Hollander said if there's one take-home message from the past year or so, it's that, contrary to popular belief, research isn't exactly something overpaid academics do in the safety of an antiquated ivory tower, that its practical applications are many. Hollander said this is why he hopes the governor will continue to fund it. From downtown St. Pete, for WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.